Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I can't believe that it is almost Friday, which is good news. We got a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. We'll have plenty to talk about with Jane Duker, former State Senator Jeff Smith, and current State Senator Nick Schroer, all on the panel tomorrow. Paul Hall with some entertainment. The other thing I did over the break, Sue, is I watched a lot of movies.
Oh.
And I watched some good movies, too, that I will share with you probably tomorrow afternoon. Cusimano on sports, and we'll have Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. I also want to mention, before we get into some of the stuff about the terrorist attacks, that we lost an Odyssey employee down in New Orleans.
I read that.
25-year-old young man by the name of Billy DeMeo, who was an account executive, and he was down there at the French Quarter when all this nonsense happened. And let's kind of segue into that conversation with our friend Phil Holloway, Fox News legal analyst. Happy New Year, Phil. Not very happy, though, for a lot of families around this country. And by the way, I don't even know, like yesterday morning, I wasn't even dialed into the news. I had to find out from ESPN that this had happened when they started talking about the Sugar Bowl.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's certainly not the kind of thing that you want to wake up to on the very first hours of what's, at least set to be potentially a particularly good year here in 2025. It's just really, really heartbreaking. And, we it's been all politics for so long, and now we're back to terrorism on American soil. It's just absolutely disheartening.
So one of the things that I haven't talked about yet, because I went off in a different direction just catching up with the listeners during the monologue, but you got with the two situations, they say that there's no definitive connection in New Orleans and Las Vegas, but both found with, the Cybertruck bomber was found with a gunshot wound to his head, rented from Turo, just like in New Orleans, the same day as the New Orleans attack. This guy was a Green Beret military bomb expert, I think maybe a drone expert, and he used amateur explosives. So that doesn't make any sense. Some people are out there saying, look, this Tesla Cybertruck could have driven itself to the Trump Hotel. Maybe the guy shot himself before he even got there, or somebody else shot him. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but there's a lot of theories out there, Phil.
Yeah, it doesn't take much, really, to if you're seeking a conspiracy theory, there's plenty of angles to look at this. If we're gonna just pretend that we're conspiracy theorists here for just a minute, one could say with respect to the Las Vegas incident that, you know, maybe somebody is sending a message to maybe the incoming administration, say, look, we can take out your best war fighters, and we can do it at your hotel with your friend's self-driving truck, you know? So, I mean, there's lots of different ways that you could spin this, but I think back to reality, we've got to sort of just let the investigators do their work. They need to objectively follow the evidence to whatever the truth is. And look, maybe it turns out there will be a connection. I don't know. Right now they're saying that there's not, but, you know, right now, unfortunately, we live in a time where the trust in our institutions of government, particularly the federal law enforcement side, is just not that high. And so people are skeptical, and the conspiracy theories are going to fly.
When I've already seen a lot of that just in reaction to some of the things that were said in New Orleans in particular by this FBI official down there and some of the other police, you know, representatives, because there's been a perception, Phil, that they haven't had their you-know-what, their collective you-know-what together, and maybe that contributed to some of the problems here.
Yeah, it looks like the Keystone Cops kind of right out of the gate when the FBI public, I guess she was the special agent in charge, or the number two in charge there. She comes out and she says, you know, it's not terrorism. And you know that when she made that statement, they had already seen the ISIS flag. So why not just say it? You know, and it completely takes away from their credibility. And when you're out and you're trying to be sort of the public face of something as high profile as this, you've got to maintain your credibility with the public. You know, if you don't have that, then they're not going to trust you. And that's going to feed into the conspiracy theories. And, you know, the other thing about it with the FBI, they seem pretty certain. Well, first, once they weren't certain, then they were like, okay, there's got to be other people involved. We're looking at two or three or four other people. And then 24 hours later, they're like, oh, never mind. It was just a lone wolf.
Yeah. So then you got both of these guys are now identified. Shamsuddin Jabbar, 42. He was the NOLA guy. He was an American citizen, also in the military. Matthew Livelsberg, I'm not sure exactly, Livelsberg on the, or Berger maybe on the Vegas side. He was a special forces soldier overseeing drones, maybe a bomb expert. So one of the questions I think that's come up in the last couple of days, Phil, and I don't think we're going to get an early answer to this, is how in the hell are these guys being radicalized, right? Especially if they're both in the military.
Well, you know, there's radical elements of this in all aspects of society. You find it oftentimes where you least expect it. You certainly don't expect it in the military, but I think this is a very ugly reminder that it is there. And this speaks to larger, perhaps more institutional problems in the United States military. There's a lot of things that need to change. You could say that this is something perhaps that's been brewing for quite some time, and it's not limited to the radicalization of these people, because the military has just lost its focus. It needs to be about war fighting and putting ordnance on target when needed, and instead it's become this, I don't know, like a It's a social experiment now that's being run almost directly out of the White House. And so there's a lot of dysfunction. This is obviously a very serious and very dangerous aspect of the dysfunction. And hopefully the new administration can make some changes.
But let's make sure that people are aware, Phil, what the real threat in this country is. I mean, Alejandro Mayorkas made it very clear a couple of years ago.
What we in the Department of Homeland Security have assessed is that the greatest terrorism-related threat that we face in the homeland is the threat of domestic violent extremism.
Yeah, wait for it.
Individuals drawn to violence because of ideologies of hate or false narratives propagated on social media and other online platforms. And the most prominent threat is the threat of white supremacists.
Yeah, you kind of had to wait for the end there. I think most of what he said there, he might have gotten right, right? There's people that are being radicalized, but they wanted to prioritize in this administration. They did it several times. When that soundbite came out, I remember mocking it at the time, Phil. You probably did too, because it was so ludicrous.
I had actually forgotten about that, maybe purposely buried it in the back of my brain somewhere. But I'm glad you remembered it and shared it, because it does show that this current administration has been basically lost in the wilderness when it comes to, you know, protecting Americans from violence. And there's been such a focus on social issues and not a focus on things that matter to keeping the American people safe on a daily basis. And it's high time that some changes be made in the Department of Homeland Security and others that, point the tip of the spear, so to speak, where it needs to be pointed, and that is at the criminal element. And by the way, that also includes closing the border. Initially, there was some reports that turned out to be inaccurate, that maybe this guy in New Orleans had come across the border in the last couple of days. In the fog of the sort of the breaking news, you know, a lot of things have to get retracted and restated.
Right.
But it doesn't change the fact that ISIS and other radical elements have come across the southern border. And even if this guy didn't come across the southern border illegally, we know that radical terrorists have come across the border, and we know they are here. And if they are here, the question is why? Well, the answer to that is obvious. They are here because they want to harm us. So we have got to close the border, regardless of whether or not this particular set of instances had anything to do with the border. But we've got to get to that. That's got to be a main priority. And hopefully here in just a couple of weeks, we're going to start seeing the border closed.
You know, one of the things I thought about yesterday and today was, and I know that Biden made some statements today, but there was never a moment when I heard about both of these incidents that I thought, you know what, I want to hear what this president has to say, because we're going to feel a lot more confident about where we are when it comes to combating terrorism and, you know, the fight against our way of life when Joe Biden weighs in here. He's become so irrelevant. I wish they could move Inauguration Day up by about 18 days, Phil.
Well, and he's talking about, well, I'm going to assemble my national security team and we're going to talk about it. Well, great. What are you going to do about it? You know, and when he does talk, the things that he says are obviously very highly scripted. Just words on a teleprompter or on a card for him to read, and he can't do that without slurring it. Did you see him the other day when he appeared, from Camp David, and it looked like he had been maybe falling down a flight of stairs? He had this cut all over his chin.
No, I missed that.
He just looked terrible, looked and sounded terrible, like somebody had just beat the hell out of him or something. But, you just don't have any confidence that the people at the top levels of government are doing their job.
My favorite moment yesterday was, you probably saw this. So, you know, we love here in St. Louis on my show, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, because he's a wordsmith, right?
Yeah.
We use the sound bites a lot. He's in the open. So, Sue, did you see this yesterday? He's at the podium with the aforementioned FBI official who didn't seem to be very, very competent. And he basically just muscles her off the podium, basically says,
wow.
Okay, I need a little space here. It was very symbolic as well, I think. Because
back to her, she was clearly outside of her depth, so to speak, not capable of performing at least the PR aspects of this incident. I don't have any reason to have an opinion about her law enforcement skills, but if they are anything like her public relations or communications skills, then the FBI down there is in big trouble.
All right, Phil Holloway. Well, Happy New Year. Thank you for helping us kind of get caught up on all these things. And are the Bulldogs going to win this afternoon?
They are, and you can count on it, and I'm going to come up there, and you can buy me a big steak when I'm right.
I think that I hope you are right. I don't like Notre Dame. No offense to my friends or the Irish, but I hope you're right. Thanks, Phil. We'll talk soon.
You bet.
All right, take care. We did have a lot of catching up from the officials today on both of these attacks, and I want to get to some of the audio. Sue, I don't know if you were dialed in even this morning or you heard the discussion about the bollards. Have you heard
that?
So, you know, like if you're riding on the Grants Trail or somewhere like that, you may have a bollard that pops up preventing a vehicle from going on the trail. If they need to, you know, get to someone that's on the trail or do some, you know, work on it, well, then, of course, the bollard could come down. Well, apparently they have this infrastructure project that started over 10 years ago, which this is honestly, before I even heard about the bollard situation, it was the first thing I thought about. It was like, wait a second, because have you been to the French Quarter?
Yes.
Okay. It wouldn't be too tough to set up bollards to prevent cars from going down these streets.
You're right.
Right. So they have that plan, but they don't have it fully implemented right now because the due date was the Super Bowl, which is in, you know, 5 or 6 weeks. So they're taking the old bollards and replacing them with removable stainless steel units along Bourbon Street and in some of the other areas around the French Quarter. But then you had Ann Kirkpatrick, who is the police superintendent. And, you know, it's always a little risky, I would say, assessing people from afar when it comes to the level of competence. And I'll give you an example. A real-life example would be John Fetterman. A lot of us kind of ganged up on John Fetterman. We were very confused. We didn't like the fact that, you know, he didn't seem to be able to communicate in the aftermath of his stroke. But I think a lot of us have appreciated what John Fetterman is all about. He's kind of a common sense guy. I don't agree with him on everything, but we misjudge John Fetterman, right? There's a possibility that I'm misjudging these police officials. But going back to what Phil was saying, they did come off like the Keystone Cops. And this Ann Kirkpatrick, she's like the superintendent of police down there. And they start talking about, you know, the hard target. She's like, they drove onto the sidewalk and got around the hard target. And here's some of the conversation.
We were able to build in bollard replacement into our Super Bowl infrastructure package. The city of New Orleans has moved forward with that infrastructure that is nearing completion. Bollards were not up because they are near completion, with the expectation of being completed.
We knew that these were malfunction, so we did indeed have a plan, but the terrorist defeated it.
So that was Ann Kirkpatrick. The other one was the police chief. So she's basically saying that the technology failed and the terrorists beat us. That was an interesting comment. A lot of people kind of reacted to that. On the topic of hardening, you know, targets.
The terrorist is going to be hell-bent no matter what
to create carnage and to destroy. But we, as a city and as a law enforcement community, have already proven over time that we can handle, manage these large crowds. We are using heavier equipment, and not just patrol cars. We'll use heavier equipment to harden the targets.
But again, the bollards were not fully, you know, functioning, and that was one of the issues. And I guess the due date for completion of the bollards was Super Bowl Sunday, not this week.
Yeah, I'm unclear whether the bollards were in place and malfunctioning or whether they haven't been installed yet in anticipation of the Super Bowl.
Maybe it's a combination, because the malfunctioning part doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No.
What is the malfunction? Because they can, I guess you would have, I guess there would be electricity used to raise and lower them if officials need to do that, right?
Right.
To get through.
Is that the deal? I guess. I don't know.
There's so many questions. On this one, and you know, some of it doesn't at this point really make sense. Bourbon Street is back open though this afternoon. The Sugar Bowl is underway. Let's go to Las Vegas, because they discovered the name of the guy. Did you see this? Is fascinating too. You have a Cybertruck which is driving around the strip in Las Vegas, and you, because of the technology, they got cameras everywhere, they can very quickly piece this together. They see where he was at this point, then where he was. He circles back around.
Good.
He had come through the Trump, you know, valet point at least once, and then circled back there before the explosion. So now they know who this guy is.
Our subject is 37-year-old Matthew Livelsberger. He's of Colorado Springs, Colorado, born July 22nd of 1987.
One of the things that's amazing about this is, if you look at the aftermath of this, first of all, the windows of the Trump Tower, they weren't blown out,
no.
Right? It was a pretty big explosion. The Cybertruck looks like it's, for the most part, put together. There wasn't a lot of damage to the exterior of the Cybertruck, but the interior obviously was blown up significantly. Here's what they said in Las Vegas today when it came to that topic.
The fact that this was a Cybertruck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump hotel were not even broken by that blast.
See, until he said that, I didn't realize
that. I hadn't
realized
that.
If you see the video of the blast, you'd be shocked that that happened. So here's something else that's interesting. I guess Elon is helping with this investigation.
So the question is, are we able to recover the video from the Cybertruck? And many of you may know that those Cybertrucks contain a tremendous number of cameras. Mr. Musk has sent out a number of his folks that will be arriving here this afternoon with the intent to try to capture the part of that captured all of the video from inside of
yes.
the truck.
So that's interesting. And again, the other angle that, you know, you're going to see a lot of buzz about this on the internet. I'm just going to tell people what's going on, because, you know, I don't want to act like there's nothing going on. And I don't know if it's true or not, and I'm not a conspiracy guy. However, people have raised, and this could be a legitimate point, that truck, that guy could have been dead in that truck long before the explosion, because it could have, used the self-driving function to go right up to the valet station. I don't know that that's the case. And I'm not even sure, because one of the things that sheriff in Las Vegas made very clear, and you could see the images and the pictures around him, everything was charred. I mean, while the exterior of the Cybertruck was in pretty good shape, everything inside, including the guns that the guy had, were completely charred.
You know what I didn't realize is when he said they have cameras all in them and all over them, I didn't realize that. It'd be great if they could find some.
Well, and I don't think I realized that, and I think a lot of people didn't. That's why the reporter asked that question. They're going to maybe see what they can recover when it comes to that technology as well. And then we got stuff going on with Speaker Johnson, and will he survive tomorrow? We'll get into that coming up next.
Get more at 971.com.